Welcome to the Peaceful Power Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Clausen. And today we are doing Ayurvedic practices for the spring season, or Vasant Ritu, according to Ayurveda. So let's dive into spring. So yesterday was the first official day of spring. It was the spring equinox, March 19th here in 2024. My goal was to have the podcast live, but I will be honest, my week is a bit wild. I have about 11 in-person yoga classes I'm teaching this week, plus a yoga workshop that I'm teaching in person on the weekend. And my son is having a surgery tomorrow. It's just a very chaotic week for myself. So I'm just trying to squeeze in things when I can, and I do have a little time this morning to record. So I wanted to share some spring practices because this is a tricky season for most of us. I live in Minnesota here, and I'm in St. Paul, and we were expected to get snow tomorrow. I looked at my forecast and it looks like there's snow has been removed. There's no longer snow in the forecast, but we were supposed to get, you know, the snowiest month that we've had all winter, which this season we have not had much snow at all. I never even got to go cross-country skiing because none of the trails got enough snow to even be groomed to work it. So that being said, snow being in the forecast and it's spring, that's not uncommon for us here in Minnesota. That the snow that's common in this time of the year is the heavy, dense, gross snow. It's not the light, fluffy, airy snow. So that is more of a kapha, the heavy, the dense, the wet, the really hard to shovel snow. That is all associated with that kapha dosha. And so that is why, you know, snow is, depending on where you live, totally part of spring. Now, when we look at, you know, Ayurveda originated in India, and those date ranges that India has for the Vasant Ritu season or spring is mid-March to mid-May. And those are going to be different depending on the climate that you live in. So you always are looking at what's happening outside your window. I have clients who are in New Mexico, Hawaii, Northern California, Southern California, Tennessee, all across the country, and they all have different things happening right now, which is one of the reasons I really love Ayurveda, because what I'm doing here when I'm telling my clients locally is going to be potentially different. Especially for my clients in the desert or Hawaii, they just have a different feel, and each Hawaii island has a different feel. And so noticing what's happening outside is the first step to how am I going to find my balance? But in general, during this season, kapha is the main dosha at play. And when we look at the gunas, and the gunas again are those qualities that we observe. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at, it's usually a lot more dry outside. Again, it's that heavy energy. If you don't have snow, you might have mud or heavy rainfall. Cold. So the cold can still stick around in the spring season. And then there's often sticky qualities happening. So again, that snow that can happen at this time of the year is usually sticky. Mud, it's going to be a little stickier. All of those are kapha qualities. So for, you know, your yoga practice, this is something just because I've been teaching so many classes this week, I'm making sure that I'm incorporating poses that help reduce kapha. And then at the same time, we're looking for poses that aren't going to provoke pitta, because pitta is coming up in the summer. So for my clients who are in some parts of Hawaii and Southern California and in the desert, I'm really telling them to keep their eye on pitta right now. My Minnesota clients and people in colder weather, so like the Northeast, not necessarily having to watch pitta quite as intensely, just because our weather patterns don't tend to be, you know, we're not going to get summer temperatures next week, potentially not even next month. So what can we do in your yoga practice? You can be working on extensions of the spine, which you can do in any posture. So it's basically having a nice long spine, back bends, but being on your belly. So thinking cobras, sphinx, I've put those in a ton of my practices this week. I think every class has a form of sphinx. Now, other things that can kind of happen at this season. So on top of the yoga practice, you're going to be doing that. You might be incorporating Kapalabhati into your morning routine. And Kapalabhati I've talked about before, but that's like your Sounds like a train. It's kind of in and out forcefully through the nose, and the belly makes a pumping action up and in, up and in. And so as you're doing that, you can do 30 rounds, take a rest, 30 rounds, take a rest, 30 rounds, and done. Or just do one round of 30. So for my Vata individuals, you might do more, just the one round of 30, because Vatas might be the ones who get lightheaded during that breath. Pittas are the ones who might get hot doing that breath. And then Kaphas usually are like, yeah, this feels really good. It woke me up. It's shaking off the excess sludge. So that's how you can kind of tell what you should do. So that would be a practice you would do first thing in the morning, and you can pair that with your yoga asana. And if you're still wondering, like, oh, what should I do for my yoga practice? What you could do is you could do the Kapalabhati, that cleansing breath, and then you're going to follow it up by five sun salutations. If you're a Pitta, you might change those to moon salutations. But just doing that would be a great way to start the day to kind of, again, slough off some excess kapha energy. Now, another thing at this time of the year is we have allergies going around. We got colds, coughs, congestion. So depending on what's blooming by you, and if you have allergies, neti pot could be your best friend. So neti pots are great for clearing sinuses. I personally do them if I've been around someone who might have had coughed or sickness, or if I'm in a, you know, a closed space and I'm noticing a lot of people are having issues, I might take my neti pot when I get home and just do a quick swipe through both noses or nose nostrils, not noses. So that would be a way to kind of clear out any stuck energy or stuck things in my nose. Now, on the flip side, if you are more drying, you might do nasya oil. And so you might take, you know, your nasya dropper and just take a couple drops in each nostril, and then you kind of pinch off the nose to kind of absorb the extra liquid. And that would be something to do if, again, if you're more dry where you're at. So in a desert, that might be an option. Now, if, I will say this, my son, my oldest son woke up in the middle of the night with a bloody nose, which happens to him often. And so I know, hey, we're still pretty dry here. I personally might not do a ton of neti pot yet, just because, again, at night, I got to have the humidifier going. Otherwise, the dryness really affects our bedrooms. So paying attention to things like that also is key. Now, what else can we do in this spring season? So moving your body is huge. So movement, this is a great time to just add in. If you like more intense workouts, this is the time to do it. It's the kapha season, and so this is, you know, big movements are welcome. Now, depending on dosha imbalances, those might need to be altered. But in general, you know, working out between 6 and 10 a.m. is great for everyone. Keeping your Agni high, that is something else recommended. So Agni is your digestive fires, and so making sure that you are having foods that you can digest, you're eating seasonally. Lunch is the biggest meal. You're not eating fruit with other foods, so you're kind of watching some of your food combinations. Those would be a few ways to keep that Agni high, making sure you finish, you know, an early lighter dinner so you're not eating too close to bedtime. And then another practice for spring is being in nature. So getting outside, it's going to help calm your vata, it's going to help calm the pitta, and then it's going to help kind of stimulate the kapha. So it does what it's supposed to for each of the three doshas. And so that's why nature is kind of the universal practice that's great for everyone. Now, again, if you have the allergies, that's where you might neti pot after you've been outside, or try to avoid the areas if you know that something's blooming that you might be allergic to. Like for myself, I took like a UTV out when my husband and I were still dating, I think, and I went through like the ditches with him. And I had not had allergies since I had moved to St. Paul. And so it had been years since I had any issues. And of course, on this UTV ride, I kicked up ragweed, I'm pretty sure. And I could not, I could barely open my eyes after we got back from my little like 20-minute trip through the ditches. And so that was something that I now every year have issues with ragweed again, until I've probably been away from it long enough. But I typically go back to visit my parents' farm during the spring, so I always seem to get aggravated there. So that's something to pay attention to as well. You know, sometimes you might, they might lay dormant, but then if you accidentally get into whatever, you know, stimulates your allergies again, they can refire. So when I got back home, you know, the first thing I did was neti pot, try to help reduce some of that just intense flare up that happened to me. Other things that you could do is a facial steam to help relieve any stuffed sinus pressure. Also great again for allergies. So if you did like me kicking up all that ragweed, doing a facial steam, which you just put in herbs. I just use sage and I boil a pot of water with, I think, 4 tablespoons of sage. Take it off, let it get cool enough where I can put my face over the boiling or the pot of water and sage. And then I cover my head with a towel and then I just breathe into it for about 10 minutes and I just let my sinuses run. So you're just trying to release pressure, or if you're not a big neti pot fan, maybe this is a way to kind of help get some of the allergens out as well. And then as far as foods to eat to keep the Agni high, let's kind of circle back there. Warm cooked foods with pretty much any of the green vegetables. So green vegetables at this season are amazing. We are looking at bitter, astringent, pungent taste to kind of help stimulate the appetite. And so I try to have, you know, I love bok choy, so I usually will have bok choy in meals. Brussels sprouts, we're kind of at the tail end of Brussels sprout season. But then we're going to be having asparagus coming. And so some of the more like the Swiss chard and the other, like the lettuces, the greens are going to be coming up as well. So trying to find that balance. And so you might have the lighter vegetables in nature versus a broccoli for those who are more kophic in nature. And then maybe having more broth-based soups that are lighter. So bone broths are something that I, you know, also enjoy. And then dressing for the weather. So even on cooler days, grabbing a jacket, you know, not being afraid to just have a spare set of layers with, because you can get chilled, and kaphas as well as vatas, their temperatures tend to be running on the colder side. And that would be one I can also tell. So I'm now teaching a class on Tuesdays, a regular class. And so the yoga class is set to 83 degrees, which if you listen to my podcast, you know, not a big fan of hot yoga. And so that's about, you know, that's not like a super hot room, but it's about as hot as I can take it as a pitta. And so I can usually tell people's doshas by who really enjoys the heat and who is, it's a little bit too much for. And so for all my pittas, usually try to avoid those heated classes, whereas your vata and kaphas usually are like, yes, sign me up. I need that warmth, especially in this season where some mornings are really cold, some can be warmer. So that is a way for, you know, to kind of just a little tell on dosha signs of what they enjoy. So again, if you're going to kind of set up your daily routine, I would say a great morning routine for this season, waking up at about 6 a.m. with the sunrise, get out your tongue scraper, brush your teeth, do 1 to 3 rounds of Kapalabhati for those 30 breaths, go for a brisk morning walk, get in your exercise routine after that, or perform those 5 rounds of sun salutations. Maybe you do a meditation for a minute or two if you are a kapha after the sun salutations. If you're vata pitta, you might do a longer meditation. And then maybe finishing with right nostril breathing 10 rounds, and then have your breakfast and get on with your day. That should take about an hour. That does not need to take more than that. You know, your workout might be the most time consuming part of that morning routine, or, you know, give yourself 90 minutes, whatever. If you get up at 6, like for me, I have to get my son to school by 7:30. So I used to be able to get all of, you know, basically kind of that in by the time I need to take him to school. And so just kind of knowing where that fits into your day. And so usually morning is best for most people, unless you are with a little one who doesn't sleep through the night. And then it's really hard to get up at 6 a.m. I feel you. It is just a phase. Just know, you know, eventually little ones will sleep through the night. All right. So those are kind of my spring practices for this season. I know I've recorded other podcasts in the past with spring tips, so I wanted to share a little different spring reflection for you all this year. So let me know if you have any questions, and you can always follow me over on Instagram at @seasonalandrea. And I try to share a little bit more spring tips there and perimenopause support there as well. So your weekly challenge from me: notice what dosha needs to be balanced this spring season. So currently, right now, give yourself a check-in, what needs to be balanced, and then start to do the practices to help bring yourself back to balance this season. All right. Thank you all, and go out there and spread your peaceful power.